paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000. John Hansen in for John Williams until noon. I really want to hear from your worst gifts out there. I'm sure you've got some good ones, too. You can drop us your best one if you'd like. 312-981-7200. Just that one gift you were shaking your head at after you opened it. Now, of course, you had to smile politely. I know that's a skill that we learned very early on in life, to thank Grandma for the socks or the pajamas she got us. And we're all ingrained with that skill to smile and say thank you for the gift. But come on, someone's got a bad one out there that you got, and we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. You can talk or text and join any conversation you like along the way. I think the weirdest gift I ever got, not to call my mom out, because I know she's listening here, and I appreciate you, Marcia, and every gift is a good gift. Look, if someone goes to the effort, God bless them. But one year, and this must just be a tribute to her not knowing what the heck to get her son in college at the time, I had mentioned to her, hey, Mom, you know, this was in September or October, my first year in college. I mentioned to her, I'm like, hey, I went to the bowling lane with some friends. We went Cosmic Bowling or whatever the case was at the Illini Union down there at the University of Illinois. And months went by, never mentioned anything again, and everything I got at Christmas that year was bowling themed. She must have thought I had picked up the sport as an everyday activity. I had a 16-pound ball with my name engraved, three letters, John. I had new bowling shoes. I had a bowling polo. I had the membership to the bowling alley. I was like, what are you? She's like, well, you know, you said you were really into bowling just from one night going bowling. I did use the shoes for a while, though. That does save you $3 or $4 each time you end up going.
Easy.
Which is, what, $3 or $4 a year with the number of times I go bowling. But not to call Marcia out too much, but 312-981-7200. What was that gift you opened up yesterday? You don't have to call them out by name, but let us know what it was. Perhaps I'm being ungrateful there. But I really want to talk about this granny in the United Kingdom cracking down on Christmas dinner. So her name is Haley Garbutt. She's from Filey, North Yorkshire. Yorkshire. I don't know how to say that one. Yorkshire.
I think it would be Yorkshire.
Yorkshire. Okay.
Yorkshire.
There it is. Thank you, Clappin.
That's good.
You'll do the adjustments here for us. So Haley Garbutt, the grandmother, she's got three adult children. They each have a partner, so that's six people already. She's got four grandkids, so that's 10. And some of her friends always come over for Christmas dinner. So this year, she decided, even before dinner happened, weeks ago, to start charging people $43 to join the Christmas meal.
Ruthless.
So that's everyone's initial reaction, right? Right. If you're hosting, it's your responsibility. If you can't pay for it, don't host. That's what everyone seems to think.
I agree. 110%. I agree.
In charging, or that in the sentiment of if you can't host, don't?
The latter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, according to her, the door price for dinner is going to help her cover a smorgasbord of gustatory delights with multiple main dishes, homemade sides, artisanal cheeses, and champagne. So she's throwing in the drinks.
Nice.
That's a good haul.
Yeah.
Now, this eccentric grandma also plans to take whatever cash is left over, because she's estimating how much it will cost. But if there is left over, she's going to put it towards gifts, like door prizes, when people come in.
Okay.
So everyone in her family is essentially paying, at least partially, for their own presents.
Which is so lame.
Okay, but it's not a lot of money, right? I mean, $43.
For a dinner at grandma's, it's a lot of money.
But let me get to the menu first.
Okay.
I might be able to change your mind here.
All right.
We want your thoughts, too. 312-981-7200. I don't know if you've ever done this before. She says she gets all the money in before she goes shopping. She does the big shopping, and she just figures that, I'm not trying to be too tight, she has maybe the money to spend, but she's able to spend more. She feels like when she was doing it without asking for money, she was kind of limiting herself. She was trying not to go overboard, and she felt like that was against the Christmas spirit. So in order to really go overboard, really to make something, she makes homemade quiches. She has beef, turkey, pork, chicken, king prawns. She makes pizzas.
No. King, if you don't prawns. Have the money, then don't do it.
Well, I mean, but look at that feast you're getting. For $43.
Downgrade it to chips and salsa, man. Let's do that.
Then why don't they just go out for dinner somewhere and pay the same amount? You know what I mean?
Yeah, 312-981-7200. I want to know if you would ever pay to go. Here's the thing, is that everyone's supposed to bring something, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the host, have you guys ever hosted a big feast like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So I've hosted these sorts of parties before, and what ends up happening is you don't quite realize how much it is to throw these things. There's the napkins, there's the plates, there's the cups, there's the time you put into it. And people kind of, once you host once, they expect you to host every year. So it becomes kind of like a burden that you have to do.
Well, if you just do a bad job, then maybe they won't want that.
There's the answer. Grandma should have just done terrible at it, just poisoned it. Salmonella or something, left the turkey out too long. I don't know. No
Listeria,
one's coming back.
Listeria is really popular right now.
Yes. So, well, yes.
I mean, she could literally just tell her family, hey, I am tight on funds this year. I'm not going to be able to do it this year.
Yeah, or we're getting, like, you know, a ham from, you know, the neighbor.
Right, we're going to Aldi this year. Yeah, exactly. You know, here's the thing, though, is that she's saying then you don't have to bring anything. Now, isn't it the worst thing in the world when you're driving out on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? You've forgotten to grab the bottle of wine. You forgot to grab the side, so you end up just throwing $10 at a 7-Eleven to get a spray of cheeses or something, or you get the cheapest wine there is. That's the hassle. So she's saying, look, I'm taking all of that out. Do not worry about any of that. You're going to get a couple gifts out of this thing, too. It's starting to become a little bit more palatable for me.
I don't know. I just don't want my grandma to hear this and get any ideas. Because I was up there yesterday, up in Milwaukee, and she always makes a great feast, and she gets a lot of joy out of it. And, man, if she had a price at the door.
Don, you can't give her $43. You're glowing about this meal.
Well, I mean, and we do give her, like, I did contribute, like, $50 toward her gift, which was, like, this year we did, me and my cousins did, like, a ticket to a Broadway show, but, like, that's a gift. You
yeah,
know what I
yeah,
mean?
That's separate, Don. That is the gift.
I know, right.
All right, that's part of Christmas. How about for slaving away and making this meal for you?
I've been spoiled. I've had too many good ones
for free. So not only are you not willing to pay $43 for one meal, Don Kleppen, but she's been doing this for decades.
It's my whole life.
And you can't give her $40 once.
Yeah, it's my whole life of food. I know. It's well, the total is well beyond. If we started to calculate it, that's a dark road that I would go down.
And so the more I dug into this, it just kind of makes sense. And in this day and age when you're not necessarily having to hand over cash when you walk in the door, when you can quick pay, when you can Venmo, whatever mode you like to use,
right,
and you could send it on December 1st, boy, you've forgotten about that money by the time December 24th, 25th rolls around.
Oh, yeah, like a prepay.
You prepay.
Okay.
Because it is such a burden. That's also something that doesn't go talked about. Some people that are tight on cash a little bit, maybe, you know, they're going to have to pay that. They might have to pay that credit card bill from all the shopping they did well before you even were to get those gifts back, or you're having to front all that money, all that stuff. All I'm saying is don't dismiss it outright.
Yeah, no, I those are valid points, too. One thing that I would ask, though, is that if you do pay for the meal, does that, you know how people like to critique, like restaurant foods and stuff. Does that give you the right then to be like, you know, grandma, this casserole?
I'm going to look at Yelp Milwaukee and see if Don left a Yelp review for his poor grandmother and all those free meals she's given once he starts charging. 720 WGN, John Hanson in for John Williams until noon. Joined by a very special guest, Maria Pappas, Cook County Treasurer. Maria, we talked on the TV this morning. We're talking here on the radio and on CLTV.
Live, wind up Pappas. Yeah. You just sit back and drink some coffee.
Yeah, that's what I need. Hey, before we get to what you guys are doing, which is great stuff, giving back, what, $136 million that's just sitting in a bank account, in a coffer?
Back, right.
You're trying to give it back to people, but I got to get you to weigh in on this conversation we were having before the news. So just to wind everyone back up, including Treasurer Pappas here, a UK granny is charging $43 a head before the holiday starts to give an elaborate meal to all of her kids and grandkids that come, because she spends so much money on this stuff that she said, enough is enough. I'm going to start charging a little bit, but any excess money that I have, I'm going to, you know, you guys give it back to people. She's giving it as gifts to people when they walk in the door. She's got ham. She's got turkey. She's got pizza. She's got king prawn. She's got everything. Is that wrong of her to charge money? You're a treasurer. What are you thinking?
Well, so this is just to family members.
Just to family members and a couple friends that come over, too.
Yeah. So I would say that she's misguided.
Okay.
You know, it's just an indication of how bad things have gotten.
Okay.
You know, first of all, if I were to isolate the one thing that is really problematic in the entire world today, and I can speak because I've been in 52 countries, okay?
Yeah.
So I would say it's the anger level.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just angry. So here's a grandmother in the UK who's also angry.
Yeah.
And what she's angry about is that she feels that she hasn't gotten the respect from her entire family during the year, because if she felt that she had gotten it during the year and that these kids just weren't showing up at Christmas time for a meal, she'd probably pay for the whole thing. She's got enough money.
So she thinks she's got some pent up anger. And
this is the angry lady in the UK who is pissed off because everybody in the family only shows up once a year. So her attitude is, listen, you want to show up once a year, that's fine with me. You never call on any other holidays. You're not here on weekends. You never come to see me. You don't ask me if I need anything, if I need shopping, if I need my medication taken care of. You don't ask me if I know how to work a computer. You don't ask me anything. You just show up. So therefore, you pay your end. And you know what? I might be nice to the people who call me twice a year and give them a gift on the way out the door if anything's left, shape up.
Let's see what some of the callers had to say. Greg, what do you think? Do you think that she should be charging money?
Not that much.
You think that's too much?
Exactly. $43. Christmas dinner. I hosted this year for 15 people. It came out to about $200.
Mm-hmm. But did you have king prawns? Did you have pizza? Did you have homemade quiches?
Well, no, but it shouldn't be. Christmas dinner shouldn't be about the food. It should be about getting together with family.
Mm.
I'm sure the family would have been just as happy with a nice ham and a turkey with all the homemade sides, and she could have done it much, much cheaper. You don't need king prawn and all that stuff. I agree. If you're going to get that, go out to dinner.
Greg, we appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Gene. Gene, you're on WGN. What do you think? You think she should charge?
Well, I think the idea was good for her because, as your guest said, she probably is angry. But, you know, when you're at a certain level of age and you're setting up tables, carrying up chairs, buying food, shopping, you're running around, and you think, holy cow, why am I doing all this?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you say you charge $43 for one child, and then you've got a family of people, it's not that much money for them compared to what the grandmother.
This is like that old fairy tale. Remember, there was the chicken, and she wanted to make bread, and nobody would help her make bread, and she went out and she cut up. Planted the grains, and then she harvested the grains, and she ground up the grains, and she made flour, and nobody in the neighborhood would help her. And then after she made the bread and she set it out on the windowsill, everybody in the neighborhood showed up to eat the bread. No different than it was in that fairy tale.
I think that, you know, this tells everybody about the work she did. Mm-hmm. I think that's my idea anyway. You're exhausted after Christmas.
Amen to that. Gene, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, she was saying Merry Christmas. I cut her off. Sorry. All right. Treasure, we're going to talk more after the break about what you're doing. But really quickly, in case someone's running out of their car, where can people go for more information?
Okay, you need to go to CookCountyTreasure.com. And if you're not one of the million people who've already come to that site, you need to get on it right away. That's CookCountyTreasure.com. And I'm going to tell you why right after the break. So stay tuned.
She's doing the teases,
Stay tuned.
After this on WGN. All right, Maria, so let's walk us through rewind here a bit. So $136 million in overpaid taxes. How does that happen?
Okay.
How do you get this much money?
Okay, so just remember, those of you who are listening, you're going to pull up CookCountyTreasure.com on your iPad, your computer, or your phone. And how do you get to this amount of money? Assume that anytime going back 20 years ago on any piece of property that you owned in Cook County, city and suburban,
mm-hmm,
commercial and residential, you actually had a closing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the closing, there were two different mortgage companies. And the first mortgage company said, we'll hold out the payment, and then you're going to take out a loan. And the second mortgage company says, we're going to hold out a payment. The clerk at the mortgage companies on March 1st, both of them pay.
Okay.
You don't realize it, but this money is sitting on this property. And because it was a closing, it was your money that they used to pay.
And not only just for buying a new place, for refinancing, too.
Yeah, this all goes to refinancing everything. It also goes to you, our first-time homeowner, and you got a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you got a mortgage with Chase. In March, your wife gets a bill. She sees this bill. The mortgage company also gets it because we send to the mortgage company. She gets this bill. She goes, oh, my God, we're first-time homeowners. John, we got to pay this bill.
Right.
We got to pay this bill. You write a check. Mm-hmm. You forget that you signed a document saying that your mortgage company was
going to That the escrow was going to take care of it. Yeah.
So now I've got two $7,000 payments sitting on this. Every time we have a collection, people overpay by $18 million. Go to the bank with it.
Right.
So then we have to go hunt them down. We're not hunting you down anymore. Go to CookCountyTreasurer.com.
That's what I was going to ask. So why not send letters to that address saying, hey, here's this much money for you. It's a check waiting for you. Why don't you do it? That's what I want to know. And why? Like that's what I'm curious about.
Well, we have stopped sending letters because what we're doing now is when the second payment comes in, we stop somebody from paying.
Okay. So they would say
you wouldn't go through
the payment.
Now we're not only not sending letters. What we're doing is I know your routing number.
Okay.
I know that your wife came in and paid and shouldn't have. And we have an agreement with Chase where when we realize that your wife double paid, Chase gives us your routing number. We send you a letter telling you that we put the money back into your account.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're dealing with, though, is old stuff.
Okay.
And
How old?
Back 20 years.
20 years, okay.
And the problem with old stuff is you don't know who really owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you send a letter, it comes back because people have moved.
Right. That makes sense, yeah.
So
or they're renting their property, whatever the case may be.
We're in the process of locating people on this $77 million of overpayments going back 20 years. Caveat here, do not caveat. When you get a letter from a third party that says, hey, I know you've got money someplace. Let me get it back for you.
Don't do it.
Well, I'll take 50% to sign these papers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We know that since 2015, companies have taken $9 million in fees where the property owner could have gotten $20 million.
If they all just did a little legwork.
If they just simply picked up the phone or ran their own address.
Yeah, how hard is it? Because here's the thing is that, so Treasurer Frerichs, State Treasurer Frerichs, has been doing a big pushback for getting Illinois residents to get some stuff back.
Right.
And I did one. I got like a $70 check. It was no problem. But when it was someone else's estate, you know, that has passed on, it's a complicated matter, I imagine. So what about people that have already passed on? Maybe the kids that have the estate of their parents that overpaid. How does that all work?
It's just, you just document the will and the estate.
Right, so it's not as hard as I made it sound.
No, it's not that hard.
Okay.
It isn't that hard. And it's not hard at all on this site because every property in Cook County is not identified by address necessarily. It's identified by a 14-digit PIN number.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you find it. What we've done is we've made this so simple. A third grader could go online and do it. You put in your property address because people don't walk around saying, this is my 14-digit PIN number.
Right.
Let me tell you where I live.
Right.
It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you just put in your address. Do not, another caveat, don't put in north, south, east, or west because if you do, the computer will say the property doesn't exist. So no north, south, east, or west. Just address, unit number, city or suburb, and zip code. Up will pop so you know you're in the right place. There's actually a picture of
your home. Oh, wow, that helps.
And your property that shows up. So now you know you're in the right place. So now that you know you're in the right place, you're going to punch another little button there in front of you, and it says view property tax information. So what are you going to find on that screen? You're going to scroll down. The first thing you're going to see is if over the last 20 years someone overpaid on the property.
Okay.
It'll tell you what year and how much. So if it's the previous owner and you're a really nice person, you could call the previous
owner. Yeah, let them know.
Yeah, let them know. If it's you, you punch the little red button and this refund app comes out. You fill it out. Now.
Mm-hmm. So it's easy peasy so far.
It's so easy. So you go down a little bit now and there's a grid with four different things on it. What's that?
Mm-hmm.
It's homeowner. Are you a homeowner? If you're a homeowner and you've been in that home for a year, you're entitled to a homeowner's exemption, which is about $500-$600. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, here's where it gets complicated. If you're a senior, you have to apply every year. In the past, you've had to apply every year to get this senior exemption. We have $44 million worth of seniors who forgot to apply. So what do? We go out with computers, iPads. We go to churches, synagogues, schools, police stations. We go any place that anyone will have us. We have an extra office at Push. We're in Chinatown. We have an office on the West Side. We run addresses. We get the address, and what do we find? We find that this senior, your mother, for 4 years, forgot to get her senior exemption.
Is it too late?
It's not too late. You can go back 4 years, and it really tallies. For 4 years, it tallies because she didn't get the homeowners if she didn't get the senior exemption. It's $4,200.
So I bet there's people out there listening and saying, it can't possibly be me. And you'd be saying that there's a good chance that it might be.
Yeah, I'm saying that the statistical odds of you being one of the people who could get some of this $136 million back is pretty high.
Okay. What is the website again?
The website is cookcountytreasure.com. But on cookcountytreasure.com, you're not just going to find out whether or not you are one of these people that didn't get your exemption or didn't get your senior exemption.
Uh-huh.
You're going to find out if you're one of the 60,000 people who forgot to change their mailing address.
Mm.
You can go right now to cookcountytreasure.com and there will be a red flag across your property saying, hey, you've given us the wrong address because your mail is coming back to us. You can also go there. It's still December. Lots of snowbirds. Lots of people who want to take a deduction now instead of next year. So what do we have? We have an amazing site. You go there right now, it will tell you what you're going to owe me on March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people are paying now because they're leaving town. Everybody's leaving town.
Yeah.
In Florida, Arizona, California.
Wherever the heck they are.
Yeah, wherever they are. They pay before they leave.
What's the phone number again, by the way?
The phone number is 312-443-5100. An added thing here, if you haven't gotten to 118 North Clark, the very first floor, right when you walk in, you need to go there. There are 92-foot trees from every country in the world.
Oh, really?
It is the most amazing exhibit.
How long are they up for?
They will be up until the end of January.
So see some trees. Get a little money back.
Yeah, come see the trees. Get some money back. It's free. You can bring your kids in. There's an explanation of each of these trees and who put them up and each of the trees.
Do you lead the tree tour yourself there? That'd be good.
I don't lead the tree tour, but I have a Christmas party in which I play the piano. And
and you don't charge anyone to come to that. That's
no, it's free.
Now, and the last question I'll ask is if someone gets some money back, will you personally deliver it wearing the Mr. Monopoly top hat and have a bag of money and bring it to their door?
I'll any way you want it, I'll get it to you.
Let's get the website one more time.
The website is cookcountytreasure.com. Cookcountytreasure.com.
It's really easy to
iPhone,
navigate,
iPad,
yeah.
Computer.
Whatever
and
you can do.
It, you can do it for any friend, any family member, anyone you know. So the best thing you could do is invite everyone over to dinner, New Year's Eve, and while they're sitting there, run their addresses and get them some money.
Treasurer Pappas, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks.
720 WGN, John Hanson in for John Williams until noon. I hope you're having a great Thursday, day after Christmas. First day of Kwanzaa, the fourth day of Hanukkah, fifth? I don't know. I think
it started
on Sunday.
So
yeah.
Yeah,
you can do some quick math there. The days are all weird this week. It's just hard when you get a day off in the middle of the week and you kind of regroup things. But just a gorgeous day. We're going to talk about this weather with WGN's own Mike Jansen in just a little bit. But also talking with Mike about this fascinating new 5G could do to our weather satellites. There's physics involved. There's meteorological implications involved. It's really interesting to me. I hope it is for you, too, because we're going to talk to Mike about it and this warm weather. You just heard Ryan talk about when it's going to end, but he'll break down a little bit more of it. And speaking of Ryan, I just want to say good morning, happy holidays to Ryan Burrow. Welcome to the air here today on this Thursday.
You know, thanks for having me.
You have a good one? You have any time to relax?
Yeah, I got a little bit of time to relax. I'm embarrassed to say a total parenting failure yesterday.
Oh, no.
The boy received a drone for Christmas.
Hey!
And it was beautiful outside. So we went to the park and set it up and stepped away, followed the instructions. The drone took off. It has not come back.
Oh,
what?
Wait, how old's the boy?
He's 7. This is
an early drone.
It is. It's a 14 and older. I thought it was something that him and I could kind of, you know, play with together. And this was our first time. I've never operated one before. And too much throttle, my friend.
Became autonomous. It just flew off.
I feel bad for the people in the northwest suburbs. If you find a drone on your rooftop, that is mine.
Hold on. Okay, so you don't know where it is.
It's gone.
You've never seen it. Did it go up or fast?
It just kept going up and up and up, and I couldn't change it.
How long did you have it in the air for before you realized it was gone?
I only saw it for 20 seconds to 30 seconds.
What did your son say?
I'm sorry to laugh at you.
He didn't say anything. It was it was Dad's fault.
So he just looked at it shocked?
Yeah.
As it flew away.
So did I. I'm hitting all the buttons. I'm trying to get it to come down. I'm hitting land. I'm so glad I didn't put my cell phone on it.
Yes. Yeah, right? Did this thing have a camera? Were you able to view it on the ground at all?
I was just going to do a test run to just play with it for the first time. We weren't even going to start using that stuff until I got used to it, but it's gone, people.
It's on its way to the moon.
I'm picturing what would have happened to your ceiling if you tried to shoot it up into the
house?
In the living room or something?
That's what I was...
Well, ceiling would have knocked it down at least.
Next time, I'm thinking hopefully. I need to get the kid a replacement, and I'm thinking either I tie it with a fishing line next time so I can yank it down, or try it in the house and break some things, but at least it won't go away.
Well, what about the money that you froze that I saw on social media?
Well, you also froze
their money, so they have wet money now.
Yeah, you know, tweens don't really like stuff anymore. All they want, Dad, I want money. I want gift cards. All right, so froze it.
You put it in a block of ice?
I froze it.
So some of the gifts are frozen and wet and soaked. Others are on to the heavens and beyond, or someone's roof.
Yes.
So northwest suburbs, be on the lookout. If you found a drone on your roof, give WGN a call. Maybe it's salvageable, Ryan.
I'm sure it's hanging from a tree somewhere in Buffalo Grove. I don't know why Buffalo Grove. That just seems like a place where
that's where the winds blew. Yeah. Oh, that was great. I'm so glad you're here, Ryan. We're going to take a quick commercial break and talk to Mike Jansen on WGN. We're going to get to Mike Jansen in just one moment. So if you could just hang on, Mike, really quickly, because we got to talk to Jerry. Jerry on the line. Ryan Burrow just told us about a drone going who knows where in the northwest suburbs, where he gave a gift to his 7-year-old and the drone was up 20 seconds before it was gone, maybe forever. Jerry, you have a similar story-ish going back a few decades.
Oh, yeah. When remote control airplanes were just coming to vogue, I got one. And I remember it was a beautiful Christmas day. And in fact, I'm driving by the Jewel parking lot where my remote control airplane, my dad crashed it after 10 seconds of flight. And I am going to go and stop and pay homage to the area of the crash site right now.
Yes.
But I giggled, and I was right by the site. And so this went up. He had the controls, and you know how you have to understand you're in the cockpit if it's left or right? He made excuses to this day.
Uh-huh.
I cringe every time I go by a remote control airplane site at the Forest Preserve, or I go past that Jewel parking lot, which was empty Christmas Day.
Jerry, thanks for the phone call. You're making Ryan feel a little bit better. I
actually wish I would have crashed it, you know, rather than it just disappear into the abyss.
There's closure there.
Yeah, I have closure. Yeah, I still hold it against my dad.
Oh, well, then that's encouraging, Ryan. It's only been 30 years.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for calling in. Mike Jansen from WGN-TV. Mike, how you doing here today?
Well, I'd like to be outside, to tell you the truth.
Oh, my gosh, right? Hey, have a Chopper 9 look out for a drone somewhere in the northwest suburbs. Our news guy lost it here.
I already let the news desk know. we're on it. If we find it, I'm sure we'll break into programming.
Like 10 minutes after I lost it, too, there were sirens that were going on. Oh, I'm like, oh my gosh, no. It landed in the middle of an intersection. There's a horrible crash. Probably had nothing to do with it, but it was just what was going through my mind.
Well, we got Mike looking at it at GN. We got Kleppen looking at the roadways. We'll all be on it here. Mike, everyone loves a weatherman on a day like today. Boy, this is something.
It really is. I mean, you know, there's only been 76 times here that we've had a temperature of 60 degrees or higher in Chicago in the month of December. And today certainly does look like it's going to be the 77th time. So we've already
this set, late, too.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You know, think about it this way. At Halloween, we had record-setting snowfall at O'Hare, but 3.4 inches. We had a high of 33 degrees. At Thanksgiving, it was 37 for a high. Mm. And then yesterday, we were at 57. And we are currently sitting at 56 degrees, which ties the record high that was set at midnight this morning. We then fell into lower 50s. But we are just going to, you know, it's going to be one of the shortest or record highs we've ever seen here in Chicago. You know, you set it at midnight, and by 11 o'clock, we'll have already broken it.
Yeah,
I think
wow.
Low to mid-60s for this afternoon is where we are headed, which is a good 30 degrees warmer than average.
Yeah, boy, when you talk about breaking records overnight, usually that's the low you're breaking. How rare is it to talk about breaking the high at midnight?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I mean, we were there at midnight, and often, you know, we start thinking about, okay, maybe it's real warm at midnight, and then maybe a cool off because a cold front went through or something like that. But in this case, we're going to, you know, we turn right back around, and we've got a good deal of sunshine, these southwest winds that are pushing temperatures that getting into the 60s. And here's the thing, like yesterday, you're about the same temperature as Los Angeles, same as Phoenix. You know, you're finding these locales that normally, especially this time of year, would be warmer than us.
Yeah.
And here we are. And I had this discussion with people over the weekend that it seems to me if we weren't going to have a white Christmas, then what people wanted was sunshine and let's just go ahead and make it 60 degrees. And you know what? Hey. It was. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be sunny and maybe it's 25, but you don't have any snow on the ground. And yeah, people get into the holiday spirit. But then you saw yesterday when we had so much video, people that, you know, they were out flying kites. You know, if a little kid got a bike, you were putting it together. Wasn't already. You were out there riding it.
Yeah, I saw people on the rollerblades out there. We had the fire pit going for Chris. It was a strange juxtaposition, but we're glad when we had it. I know things are going to change. I was going to say, take that, snowbirds, the fact that we're warmer than them, but I don't want to jinx things because I know long way to go. We really haven't even started. Hey, we only got a couple more minutes left, but I want to pivot to this. I find it fascinating. I don't know if other people out there do. This discussion amongst meteorologists and the government about this 5G technology interrupting or the potential for gathering data from satellites. And here I thought, everyone's just being a little cranky. Just change the settings or whatever it might be. I didn't realize that water vapor emits some sort of frequency that is what going to be really close to what these 5G frequencies are proposing?
Yeah, it's going to be close to it. Now what the FCC will tell you is we're going to put 5G out there with a buffer, a big enough gap there that you're not going to be, there shouldn't be any interruption.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's any noise, you know, even if you say we're going to put everything in this lane, but if there's some spill off there, could it disrupt? And the fear is if you do have some problems with not being able to collect accurate water vapor data is if you have just a little bit of a problem there, then, you know, just a small disruption there or something being wrong with the data from its set point as you go out in time, that's going to make things even more inaccurate. You know, our forecasting models are so much more accurate than what they were, you know, 25 years ago. But if you especially, the thought is on those locations that are on the coast where you have, you know, water vapor there, maybe it's Miami or New York or something like that. If you have just one pixel of that entire forecasting model map that's off, how much is that going to skew things? You know, how
like
big is it going to be from?
Almost.
Yeah, how much will it affect to where will hurricanes make land for? Or with climate change data, for that matter, as well. So there's a lot of questions out there. I know the FCC is on the folks from NOAA and saying, hey, we would, you know, if you have some findings you want to share with us, then do it. But from what I've been gathering or for what I've been looking at is that they have not, from the folks in NOAA said, well, we have this information. They haven't released it publicly of saying, yeah, we could have a problem here. But I think there's a lot of people out there that it'd be interesting to find out from people, do you want your to be able to download your movie to your phone 100 times faster, or do you want to have, you know, if that made it so your weather forecast wasn't as accurate, how would you feel about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know how people would honestly answer, although I don't think they quite realize, because I think a lot of people, they take meteorology and the forecasting that you guys do for granted because it appears on their phone, but I don't think they realize that all that came from somewhere. All of this comes from data, a lot of it run by the government, the National Weather Service, giving us so much data points and from people like you, you know, kind of putting that all together. You know, I honestly think that people take weather forecasting for granted these days.
I think they do. And like you said, it's on your phone, and maybe you have an app on your phone that gives you an alert if there's a severe thunderstorm warning or a tornado warning, something like that. That comes from the National Weather Service. You know, just like if I go on air with a severe thunderstorm warning, I'm not putting that warning out there myself.
Mm-hmm.
There's criteria that is met, and the National Weather Service then puts out the warning. I then just disseminate that information. So it's the same thing. I mean, we have, you know, so many apps, so many things that are at our fingertips. I can, you know, I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but I can tell you we had an issue when I was in New Orleans. I was there for Hurricane Katrina, was there after Hurricane Katrina, and as more and more information was being put out online. And one of the things the National Weather Service was kind of harping on to the folks that were running emergency management offices at some of the different parishes was, we get it. You can go online and find certain information that's out there, but you may not know what that is that you are looking at. So don't start making decisions based on what you think you are seeing online. You know, there's forecasting models that are out there, whatever it may be. Don't look at it and think, oh, this is what's going to happen, and then you make a decision to have either, you know, an evacuation or not doing an evacuation, something of that nature. Just let us handle that. We'll let you know if we are to the point where you guys should be, you know, evacuating or whatever it may be. So just because it's at your fingertips doesn't mean you know how to look at that information and actually, you know, make heads or tails.
Right, make decisions. Trust the scientists, I think, is what we're saying. Mike Jansen, thank you so much for breaking that down for us. And really, boy, get outside. Enjoy it today.
I've got a few more hours, and I will be out there. The grill will be fired up. There's no doubt about that.
Get the grill fired up and then go on official drone search. All right, Mike, thanks so much for joining us here today. John Hansen in for John Williams until noon. Getting a lot of texts, Ryan, looking for your drone, trying to find it. But yeah, what are you going to do? That's what I think everyone's – it's a great story. That's a priceless story your child will have.
Let me tell you about the great Christmas of 19, kids. Gather around.
It's so good only because it went away so fast. It just...
So fast.
You didn't even like get to give it one good lap around the block or anything.
Not at all.
Just straight on up. We'll keep on looking. 312-981-7200. If you're in the northwest suburbs and you found a drone on your roof, everyone go outside and check. It's a gorgeous day. Maybe you're taking down the decorations already. You're getting a head start on that. Just look up on the roof and let us know if you find a drone. I mean, really, Ryan, we can use the power of the people here.
Here we go.
Let's use it.
Yeah, Palatine, Arlington Heights, Buffalo Grove, anyone in that area. I can't imagine it would go farther.
Well, you don't know. You have no idea, Ryan. It went into the air.
It just kept going up.
All right, look around, people. We can find this thing. My brother's a firefighter in Arlington Heights. I'm going to give him a call a little bit later. Wouldn't have gone to Schaumburg, right? That's where my other brother's a firefighter.
I don't know
we'll put everyone on the lookout. Yeah, the FAA is probably thinking right now, like, oh, gosh, what are we going to look for now? Okay, let's go to Jen Sabella. Jen, my good friend, works over at Block Club Chicago, editor there, and does incredible work. Jen, thanks for joining us here day after the Christmas.
Thanks for having me, John.
So,
I miss you.
I know, I miss you too. We used to work together at DNA Info, churning out a lot of copy and great stories, and I'm so happy that Block Club Chicago is here. It's been around, oh boy, what, a year and a half already, Jen?
Yes, it's wild. A year and a half, right about there, yes.
And the good news keeps on coming, and then I know you guys expand, you know, DNA Info was great in its vastness. It was a big staff covering a lot of different neighborhoods. Block Club started a little bit smaller, just a little bit more manageable. It's a nonprofit. But you guys continue to look for new spots and continue to hire new people, right? You guys are a growing organization.
We are. We're going to be cover a couple new neighborhoods in 2020, which we're really excited about. We're partnering with Report for America to cover Lakeview and Lincoln Park, which was a really big spot for our DNA Info readers. So we've heard from a lot of people in those neighborhoods, like, let's go, get back here. So we're really excited about that. And yeah, it's been an exciting year. We're actually trying to reach 10,000 subscribers by the end of 2019, and we're about 200 people away.
Oh, my gosh.
So close. Yeah, yeah. So it's an exciting time.
And I know we love to equate things to cups of coffee just to kind of put it in perspective. I think it's probably an overused trope that we do, but Block Club Chicago, really, I have had more expensive drinks of coffee when I get like an extra shot in my venti and than Block Club Chicago once a month.
Exactly. And I always say I can't live without my coffee, but I can live without that extra beer at the end of the night when I'm out and then I regret the next morning. So yeah, that's
shot of Malort. Just put it away and get some local news.
So we're only $50 right now. We're on sale only until the end of the year. For the whole year, so it's about $5 a month.
That's incredible.
$50 for the year.
And here's the thing is that I think a lot of people, I hope the tide is changing. I think, you know, since obviously the internet's been around for a long time, people have been like, well, I can get my news for free. But I think that people are starting to see the value, not only from organizations like yours, but even the big ones, Washington Post, New York Times. I used to never pay for any of those subscriptions, but I was so sick of getting that firewall. And now more than ever, whether it's local or national news, I hope at least people are starting to get that, yeah, you might have to pay to get the news that you want, but that's going to make it a better product.
Exactly. And I think it's just so much better for us as a news organization to be accountable to the people we serve and the communities we cover over advertisers or one owner or, you know, conglomeration. We're accountable to you. So we always get emails saying, I'm a subscriber and I'd love to see this story. And, you know, we're listening. So it makes us accountable. And I think that's really important. And I think also the shutdown of DNA Info, people realized, hey, if I don't pay for this, it's going to go away again, and I really missed it, so I better kick in a few bucks while I can.
DNA Info and WGN Radio had a great partnership. It continues having you guys on all the time here with Block Club Chicago. But for those that maybe are driving around or they just have never heard of what we're talking about, local news website covering really anything and everything.
Exactly. Like stories from the neighborhoods. We actually have become pretty well known for breaking the Chance the Snapper story, yeah. which is just kind of it's kind of funny because it became this big story. But to us, it was like an everyday weird story that a neighbor called in the newsroom and said, hey, I just saw a gator on my run in Humboldt Park. And
if you've never worked in a newsroom, you get some weird calls. So I'm sure I'm sure exactly. Seamus Toomey was like, yeah, okay, buddy.
Yeah, we're unique in that we get excited about these things. Like, we know that our readers love urban animal stories is what we call them. So, you know, we live in a big city. We don't see a lot of wildlife, especially alligators, because they are not native to the region. But so when we heard this, we're like, let's get on it right away, which is just kind of our thing. We'll show up. We're there. We checked it out. We thought it could be a log or something, which is also what the first gator trappers thought. and it turned into this big story, and it really helped put us on the map, which is, it's a funny story to put us on the map, but we do a lot of other work as well, covering a lot of meetings in the neighborhoods, a lot of development, and just like interesting people that make the neighborhoods what they are. We did something on the big house in Logan Square that everyone visits every year because it's so elaborately decorated for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We did a big story on one of my favorite stories of the year, actually. I'm Black Cowboys on the Chicago South Side, out of South Shore's Broken Arrow Riding Club, and how Lil Nas X's Old Town Road has really renewed interest in riding in the Black community in Chicago, horseback riding. We're all over the place. If it's interesting, it's news to us.
Yeah, I hope you could talk a little bit about the idea of, you know, you mentioned when the Gator report came in, sending boots on the ground there to check it out. Boy, a lot of outlets these days don't have the opportunity. I mean, a lot of our journalism, and some of it has to be done, obviously, over the phone and over email. And look, that's never going away. But there's something about walking a beat, literally walking it and finding stories or checking stories out person to person.
Exactly. And I think that that's what makes us different. Our reporters are all based in the neighborhoods they cover, and most of them actually live in the neighborhoods they cover. So, you know, as a resident of a place, you just like end up knowing more about it. You know what the neighbors care about. You know about that restaurant on the corner and that business, that long time business. So I think that having those reporters on the ground every day, A, we notice things faster, and B, we can get there faster, but we also just have this, like, connection to people. We know who to talk to. Instead of always using just official sources, you know, from the city or a politician, we can talk to the stakeholders in the neighborhoods. We know who's you know, paying attention and who has the best interests of the neighborhood at heart.
You've listed off a couple stories. Were there any other ones that you pulled that you love from the year that people might either have heard of or maybe they didn't?
One story that was pretty impactful was by another one by Mina Bloom, our Logan Square Humboldt Park reporter. She covered a 65th Infantry affordable housing complex in Humboldt Park that we had a ton of problems. Basically, it was built to help veterans get, you know, job training and housing and therapy and different services. And the residents there were really afraid to speak up, but she was able to talk to them and document some of the problems with the building. And just months after her story, the residents there reached out to thank her because it's completely turned around. So it's just something like that. Like, she was hearing from people in the neighborhood that there were problems with this affordable housing complex for veterans. And this is one of those things that when it opened, it was a big, like, you know, ribbon cutting where all the politicians show up and pat themselves on the back. So just, like, keep staying on it and making sure that the people are getting what they deserve and getting, you know, the services that they were promised. And I think that's important that people in the neighborhood have somebody they can turn to. We're always there. We're a tweet away. We respond on Instagram. And a lot of the times we just say, hey, you know, our reporters will say, we're in the neighborhood at this cafe until, you know, 1 o'clock. Come by and pitch us a story.
That's great. Block Club Chicago doing incredible work. For $50, you can get a subscription for the entire 2020. And that's just till the end of the year, that deal is. Let's try and get them, what, 200 more? Oh, more than that. But let's try and get you to 10,000 by the end of the day, Jen.
Yes, that was that's the big goal. We'll be very excited if we hit that.
Jen, thanks so much, and thanks always to all of your reporters for being willing to call in here on WGN. We appreciate that relationship.
Yeah, we love you guys, and thank you so much, and have a great Boxing Day.
Yeah,
is that a British thing?
Yeah, yes, it's a Canadian thing, if I think I remember.
Oh,
I'll Google that the break. Tell Ellie I said hi. Let's grab some drinks, Jen, okay?
That sounds great.
I'm eating a cupcake. Elif, she just asked me during the break, about 10 seconds left, what am I eating? There's cupcakes over there by the coffee. Did you see them over there? They're good.
Those are the prettiest cupcakes and cookies I've seen this season.
My question always when I come over here and there's food out, which is very often, I should always wonder how long the food has been there. Did someone bring that on Monday, Tuesday?
Well, I can tell you that it wasn't on Monday, at least.
Okay, that's good.
But there's too many of them for it to have been that long.
That's true. Usually, I think someone brought them yesterday evening. I'm going with Carmen. Looking at the schedule yesterday, he was on at 6, I think. I think Carmen brought some cupcakes.
Is that something he would do?
You know, fair point. I don't know. 312-981-7200. Love for you to join the conversation. Ryan, you're up on all this news and stuff, you know, considering that's your job. Have you seen this trend about trying to sum up 2019 in 5 words? I like these challenges sometimes where you try and put your editing skills to the test. And most people try and form like a sentence, not just 5 random words.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're big into that, but that's what we're going to do next. 312-981-7200. You're 2019. You only got 5 words to sum it on up. What would it be? So, of course, it's a trend. People on Twitter, someone, Louis V, says, year that lasted 5 years. So a long year for Louis V. Another Twitter user says, let's pretend it never happened. A lot of these seem to be negative. There's a lot of tension in the country.
I'm so sick of that. Like, ever since 2015 or 2016, people just neg on the previous year.
Like, oh, this has been the worst.
Stop being so pessimistic. I'm over you.
All right. Well, then what are your 5 words then? Yeah, you come up with something better, Elif, if you're so optimistic. The glass is half full.
I finally played a show.
You finally played a show?
Yeah.
That was a big day for you.
Mm-hmm.
And a big show.
All right, I got one.
All right. Oh, that was good. Go ahead, Ryan.
Jussie made me work hard.
Oh, my God. That is so good.
Yeah, you know, in any roundup of the top Chicago stories, and probably would go on some national stories, too, Jussie was early in the year. Boy, he was that polar vortex, right? End of January.
Yeah, what the heck?
But that's the story that won't stop. That's got to be one of the top 5 stories of the year here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Jen Sabella from Block Club Chicago. Chance the Snapper's up there.
Chance the Snapper.
That might be number one. That might take over Jussie. I don't know. That's a good one, Ryan. So get yours in, 312-981-7200. Some people, of course, shocker, getting political. This isn't too political, but Socialist Steve is his handle on Twitter, so this isn't too much of a surprise. Greta Thunberg led the way.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. That one's good.
I have a bad Greta Thunberg take that I've already been yelled at a bunch for my take on television about her, so I'll just say good for her.
Okay.
That's where I'll leave it. I'm happy for her. That's good. Twitter user Curly and Elegant says, when black women made history. Those are her five words, nice. Referring to Miss Universe, Miss USA, Miss America, Miss Teen USA, all of them currently held by black women. Some people paying homage to the stuff that just gets you through 2019. Jassy says, Netflix was my best friend. Those are her five words. Wow, a lot of political ones coming up on the text line, 312-981-7200. Both sides of it, though. Here's one. Trump fatigue overtakes the country.
Mm-hmm.
Another one says, it says, kids in cages, semicolon, 45 sucks. Someone says Trump finally got caught. Well, that's four words, so you got to get one more in there to officially make it on the list. So, yeah, of course people are going to go political right away. Who can blame them?
I have a political one that I'm not going to say on the air.
Okay. You're gonna...
I'll tell you later.
All right. Rachel Miller, a Twitter user, says, comedy got me through it. Here's a good one.
Good.
Alexa, play Old Town Road.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful with that word on this
station. Oh, sorry.
Station.
Yes, the lady. Ah. Well, a lot of people are now listening.
She's
yeah.
not listening. Hey. She's never listening.
Oh, yeah. No. If there's one thing we've learned in 2019, it's that A word has never, never listening, as Old Town Road plays in the background of so many people's houses right now.
Ariana Grande broke my Spotify.
Is that
could
your...
be one. I think it could be relatable, but that's it did one. Not happen to me.
Five words. Someone posted a tweet with four photos as well. A Game of Thrones photo, a Star Wars one. I believe this is Avengers, and said, all good things must end. The year of ending things. Five words. Five words.
I was just thinking Star Wars will never end.
Yeah. Five. That's good. 219 says, year of meeting your maker. Okay. 708, year of the fake impeachment. Year of the fake. That'll work. I have a hard time counting to five sometimes. Oh, we just had someone on the line. They dropped off. 312-981-7200. Someone says, best and worst of times. A little Dickens in for you. Don, you got one? Sorry, did you chime in there with one? I was reading the text line.
That's okay. Yeah, I did the Star Wars one, but now I'll say I was thinking of one. Bring on the next one.
Bring on the next one. See, that's an optimistic to look at things.
Bonnie said, grateful for every healthy day on line one.
Every healthy day. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time counting to five. Here's a good one from the 847. My bank account is empty.
Yeah,
especially after the holidays. That sort of happens.
I feel them.
End of decade. Nobody's discussing. Now, there's been a lot of roundup. Of decades. I forgot to talk with Dave Ennett about the fact they did NBC, NHL did a roundup of the best hockey players of the decade. And I think we here in Chicago had a pretty good team, winning three Stanley Cup championships in that span, and had a player that topped all NHL point scorers with the most points, goals, and assists, and Patrick Kane was left off that top list.
They left him off the list?
He's at 15, they put him at. So... That's crap. How that happened. I know.
That just discounts all credibility of the list.
Yeah, Consumer Reports is out with its like best of the decade list, and there's some things that would blow your mind that came out over this decade. The iPad, for one.
That came out this decade?
Yeah, 2010.
Whoa.
That's right.
Sounds
that's right.
Yeah.
It feels like it's part of our...
07, so it was only,
The A-Lady who we were just talking about, she came out 2014. The Tesla.
Jeez. I feel like some of these things are staples now in our everyday life that you would never imagine a world without.
On the food side, the Trader Joe's cauliflower rice and the Impossible Burger.
Yeah, okay.
At Trader Joe's?
No, I think the Impossible Burger in that...
Yeah, wherever you want to get it.
Burger King?
Yeah, Burger King. Yeah.
Hey, 847 says bye-bye to Christmas drone. That's a
all
sums
right.
up.
That's themed. That
keeping
cuts a little
the theme
deep.
Going.
Wow.
847 Savage. Says, my husband has first grandchild. That's very sweet.
Grammatically incorrect, though.
Yeah, true. 616 says, year when I retired, ellipses, freedom.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
A texter says, I discovered 90 Day Fiancé. Now, did you discover the television program or did you discover that rule loophole and take advantage of it in 2019? That's what I want to know.
That seems ambiguous.
Right.
Left up to interpretation.
Yes, exactly.
Wait, 2019, left up to, oh man, yeah, your interpretation.
That would have done it.
Right, left okay. up to your interpretation.
Here's one, and this has really kind of been over the last month or two. Here it is. Boomers versus millennials, comma, both suck.
Whoa.
That covers a lot of people.
That sounded like a haiku.
So just Gen Z?
Yeah.
That's all you get. Gen Z or Gen X?
Yeah, they're an angry Gen Xer.
Right.
That's what it sounds like. Why is no one talking about me?
Can't read that one on air. Boy, there's a few of those.
Yikes.
312-9, here's one from the 231. 2019 in five words, I bought a new car. Hey, there you go.
That's nice. Fun.
Those are big moments. For others, it was more personal than memeable. I'm going back to the article here. One gentleman chimed in with, finally graduated after 6 years. All right, there you go. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Just get it done if you can. Someone chimed in with a puppy, engaged, promotion, that order. That's a good year. One hell of a ride, says someone. I think that optimistic or pessimistic, that's a good way to sum it up. For everyone, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, it's certainly been some sort of ride here. 847, nope, can't read that one. Yeah. I like the bank account. A lot of people is I need more money next year. Yeah, there you go. That'll work. 312-981-7200, get yours in for how you would sum up 2019. If you can do it without politically, that would be a good one. Yeah, that would be great. We got another one that says, please stop all the shootings. Yeah?
Yeah, mine was along those lines, my political one.
More specific to something that was happening, the violence, stuff like that?
Yeah.
815 says, 5 surgeries, 1 year, done. Hey, good for you. Texting nice. On the other end of it. Amen. Can't trust anyone but myself. Wow.
That's sad.
That's from Mary. Well, but that's true, though, in some ways. Sometimes you hope it isn't. Here's a good one. This is a good one. 847. Life is good. Embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty
nice.
Good. Another, if we're getting deep here, 443 says, balance is my happiness key. Balance is my happiness key.
I get that.
Yeah. Man, that work-life balance. I was going to say, mine this year is I need a long nap. And I don't know if it's just this particular year I feel that way. I don't know if it's the environment we live in, the toxicity, or the fact that I'm just working a lot of hours, that it's just like, I just feel like I'm dead tired.
That's a combination.
And you look ahead to the, like, there's a whole new decade coming.
Yeah.
It's like, not even just the next year. You're like, whew, it's a package. Package of 10. Let's go.
Y'all excited for the jokes next Tuesday? See you next decade.
Yes.
I'll definitely be delivering a lot of them.
Yeah, that's good.
815 says, bye-bye, Illinois. Hello, Florida.
Well.
I turned 30 in 2020.
30?
Sorry, not 2020. In the next decade. I ruined that one.
Yo, you're even younger than that? Oh, my gosh. 317 says, finally paid off my mortgage. Good for you. 720 WGN, a pleasant Thursday morning to you. 1109 here, 18 floors above Wacker Drive in the Chicago River. John Hansen here for John Williams until noon. And then we got the Wintrust Business Lunch with Jisoo Gee. And she's sticking around. She's in for Anna DeVellantes today until 3. Boy, an incredible day. We've been telling you about these temperatures. How are you enjoying it? 312-981-7200. I was getting alerts on my phone for golf courses that are open and trying to get you a last-minute tee time. You know, we haven't had too much snow or rain either, so I imagine the courses, for the most part, are okay, in good shape. But I'm here today, but it made me dream for a moment of being on a golf course. That was pretty nice. Those 10 seconds I pictured being out there. If you're on the golf course right now, let us know. 312-981-7200. How are you shooting? We've been doing the sum up five words 2019. That we had a lot of great text during the news, so I'm going to read a few more of those. So you have another minute or two to get those in. In just a little bit, we're going to talk to Jermaine Horton. So his story kind of went viral about a month and a half, 2 months ago. He's a local photographer, a professional photographer, does incredible shoots for weddings and other things like that. Well, he heard a story of a young girl in Michigan near Detroit who had been denied her school photos because she had a red streak in her hair. And it was against not school policy. She can wear it like that every day, but it was against the school picture policy to have her do it. So she showed up to school all dressed up, and she didn't get photos. And then her mom didn't get photos, which is probably more worse. But she was denied, and it was, you know, that's a hard thing for a 9-year-old to be told, nope, you don't look okay. You can't do that. So anyways, he took all of his stuff. He schlepped out to Michigan, his professional photography, and took these incredible photos of her. He's going to be on in just a little bit because he has a big announcement about what he's doing moving forward for other people. But 2019, five words to sum it up, and away we go. And boy, some of them make you take stock in what you do have, because a lot of people have had a tough year. And, you know, we were talking about politics earlier. This is separate from that. Someone texted in the 402, company sold, I'm let go. Too bad. That's not a good way to end the year.
Grim.
Yeah. Maria chimes in, though, I alone control my attitude. Which is something I subscribe to. Some people say it's not that easy, but that's a good way to look at it. 773 says, bought portable radio, WGN addiction. Hey, we appreciate that.
Excellent. There we go.
We prefer our listeners addicted. That's usually the best policy.
Best customers.
You better believe it. 847 says, living healthy after liver transplant. All right, there you go. This probably isn't good news. Met my deductible in March. Ugh. That sounds like a tough year. Although, once you get to the deductible, at least, hopefully, I don't know, start throwing whatever you can at that point at that to get whatever you need taken care of. 630, our hearts are with you, as she chimes in, or he or she chimes in, with grief, grateful for angels. Someone chimed in 443. You're going to hear this joke a lot next week, too. Barbara Walters, this is 2020. Have you been seen that meme that's going around, that 11:59:59, you put a Barbara Walters clip on, of the old one of her introducing the old ABC
this
show
is 2020.
Yes.
Nice.
And that should be the countdown.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that's a good one. Here's one that's longer than five words, but it does sum it all up in five words. So I'll read the whole thing. Boy, gosh. Oh, I thought I had a tough year. I needed a nap. Here's the 269. Lost my mom. Lost use of my right arm. Lost my job. Turned 61. Became disabled. And then here's the wrap up. But I am still alive. Oh, that's a positive outlook.
That's heavy, but yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I mean, that's so true. I
good perspective.
It is. The 224 chimes in. This is in five words. They're letting us know that they are at the dog park right now. I hope you're enjoying that. The 630 says they're at Valley Green Golf Course in North Aurora. Open Woo-hoo! Now. All right. How you shooting? 708 says, blessed with family and friends. And that seems fitting. They must have had a good holiday season. I imagine if it wasn't fun, then you wouldn't be typing that the day after after Christmas. So get those in 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear you sum up 2019 in five words. Okay, so after the break, we're going to talk to Jermaine Horton again. An incredible project he's doing, a nonprofit. There's ways that you can help. And it's a really interesting discussion because, boy, I get that schools have dress codes. I think that... I guess they're important. I could see reasons why you want students dressing a certain way or why they should or shouldn't do things to their hair. Well, I lean way more towards the side of just let them do whatever they want. I guess there are rules, but a little red streak in your hair means you can't be in the school photos. You can dye your hair any other color. Can't dye it red, can't dye it blue. And because of that, this student didn't get school pictures. We're going to talk to the photographer who did something about it after this on WGN. A few more people chiming in. I don't know why I like these things that are summed up in five words or ruin a holiday in blank amount of words. I like the forced conciseness. Nothing better than a well-edited article or story. The conciseness forces creativity, I feel like, and we're getting some good texts. 815 says, lost 95 pounds and counting. Wow! 95 pounds in 1 year. Well, 815, congratulations on that. Hope you did it in a healthy way and hope to keep it off in 2020. I don't know if you reached your goal there, but that's easier said than done. So I know that's hard. Let's see. Maybe we'll end it on this one. 773. Maybe it's better we don't get this story. My wife's sisters are trouble. 312-981-7200. You can get some more, and maybe we'll read them on a little bit later in the show. We're going to get one more, though, here, and it's from Mr. Jermaine Horton. We've been talking about his story. We talked about him, talked to him around Thanksgiving time. We're doing it again here. But, Jermaine, before we get into what you do, what are your, how do you sum up 2019 in five words, my friend?
Oh, my goodness. Mine would be, my goodness, ain't God good.
Yeah, my goodness, ain't God good. I like that. Jermaine, how you doing? We first chatted about a month ago. Let's rewind a little bit for people. I kind of teed it up, the story of this young woman in Michigan that you had heard of that didn't get her school pictures because of a little red dyed hair, and you came to the rescue. Walk people through exactly what you did and how it's blown up from there.
So this happened about a little over a month ago. Young girl named Marion Scott was denied her school photos because she had red extensions in her hair. She's worn this hair throughout the year. It was never an issue until it was picture day. And, you know, she was kind of put on blast in front of her entire class and all the other classroom mates that were around. And it really put her in some damaging spirits. And so when I heard about the story, it was featured on different news outlets, and I was getting tagged. I went down there to Michigan, grabbed a team of individuals that will help me make this shoot come true and possible for this young lady with wardrobe and just everything. And, you know, her confidence had shot through the roof. The photos had went viral globally, so much so that after we had aired, we actually got contacted by the owner of the Detroit Pistons. Him and his brother, Alec Gores. So it was an amazing time. They actually sent myself and my daughter, Marion, and her family to the game against the Bulls. You know, they gave us a lot of treatment. It was absolutely amazing, John. It was amazing.
Did you wear Bulls gear or what?
I did. John, you know I had to. Look, yeah. I appreciate the Pistons. I mean, we had floor seats. I had the owner's seat. It was amazing. And, I told him, I said, I appreciate the gesture, but you do know I'm wearing my Bulls gear. And I cheered the loudest on the floor for my Bulls, and they got that W, too.
Hey, there you go. Why do you think the story is resonating with so many people?
You know what? It's had a lot of positive feedback. And, you know, because of that, it birthed the Art of Confidence project, which is my new project. And I kept getting tagged afterwards. And I think I even mentioned on the show with you on a jam. About a young boy named Tink out in Texas and Tatum. And, you know, I just kept getting tagged about this story. And I said, all right, let me go check this out. And we made sure the story was vetted. We made sure that we crossed our T's, dotted our I's. And that young man, or the young boy, because he's 4 years old, John. And
what's his story?
He got kicked out of school because his hair was too long. So his hair is extremely long. It goes way past his shoulders. And they said they would like his hair to be pinned up or they want it braided. But even if it's braided, it still goes past his shoulders. So then you have to pin the braids up. So then it starts to look like a girl's hairstyle. And that's not what the grandmother wanted. And she talked about that. And they told her, well, if you feel that strongly about it, then you could actually put him into a dress and have him identifying as transitioning into another gender.
Just because of his hairstyle?
Yes, just because sometimes he doesn't wear it braided. It's not in a ponytail. He may just wear it straight down, and that was an issue. And it's crazy because other people that have graduated in that same district has had long hair. You know, so we've been trying to figure out what is the issue with that, but she now currently has a suit against that town, the school or whatnot, and other individuals. So we went down there to Texas, went to Dallas, where we actually did the shoot. And those photos have gone viral, 4 years old. And of this, John, the worst part is he's not in school. There's no kids for him to play with. So he's stuck at home with his grandmother every day. And just the little time that we spent with him with our Art of Confidence project, the boy is so full of energy and love and radiant. And it's just like, okay, how can we fix this? So I have been on a mission to find a way to get this boy in school somewhere outside of Tatum, because right now, you know, they're receiving threats. There's so many things underlining this happening, and it's affecting a four-year-old child. That's not his fault.
Jermaine, I got a question for you. So this is going to be a weird question to ask, but I think that there's a lot of people that might be asking it. It's not fair what they're doing, kicking him out of school or giving him the choice to wearing a dress just because he has long hair.
Yeah.
Well, make the argument for why don't you just cut your hair? I mean, I know that is not what you should do, and it's a bad lesson and a bad precedent to send, but is there any ounce of him that wants to just do it just to get back in school?
No, absolutely not. It's just like you, John. If you like the golf, right? Golf is your thing. It's part of who you are. Mm-hmm. That's who you are. Someone said, you know what? Give me your clubs. And you've had these clubs for, I don't know how long, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, give me your clubs. We're going to take your clubs. You can never golf again. This is not who you are. How would you feel about that?
I would not feel good. I mean, especially since I spent my own money on them, and they're part of who I am, and they're in the back of my trunk all the time.
Exactly. So imagine you being an African-American being told that your hair should be done a certain way, that you should cut your hair to conform to what someone else says it should be, when others are not being targeted for the same thing. And this is the reason why the Crown Act has been upon us, and it's accepted in New Jersey, New York, and a few other places, I believe. I think it's like 3 states right now to where you cannot be discriminated against because of your hair. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is an ongoing issue. And as a matter of fact, it's the reason why I'm doing my third project in New York, where we had 2 young girls that were put out of not just the Nutcracker, John, the Black Nutcracker, because they had braids. Now, mind you, when you do dancing, they want you to pin your hair up in a bun. They mm-hmm. just want it in a bun, right? So actually, with certain styles of braids, you can actually braid your hair and pin it up so that it doesn't fall on the other dancers, it doesn't affect them. But no, this person or this organization decided at the last minute that they were going to tell them that you couldn't wear braids after they have practiced and been in this program for 3 years, John. So now we're headed out to New York to help those amazing young girls out there as well, too.
I love that you're giving people this confidence through these incredible photo shoots. And what's the Instagram handle again and the website for people in case they're curious?
Yes, for Instagram, you can go to art_of_confidence. On Facebook, it's Art of Confidence. And
I don't know, did we lose Jermaine there? We'll have to see if we can get him back. Jermaine, can you hear me? We lost you for a second. Don't know if he's traveling the wrong place. Elif will try and work and get Jermaine back on the line. But Art of Confidence. And the question I was going to ask him, and I think this is something that I've had to check a little bit upon myself, the idea being that a lot of the people that Jermaine has been working with, a lot of the students, have been African-American students. And I think that, you know, we all have different hairstyles and how we do things. And I think that for a long, long time, many administrators in schools, the majority of them might have been white. And I think we got him back on the line to see if we can get him. Jermaine, you there now? Can you hear us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got 1 minute left. Here's the question I want to ask Jermaine.
Yep.
Art of Confidence, go there, check it out. You guys are doing great work. Do you think it's incumbent on a lot of people to kind of check themselves a little bit and realize that even if you don't consider yourself a prejudiced person, that we all have different interpretations and thoughts about how people should wear their hair, and we should check those at the door a little bit because not everyone is the same?
I 100% agree with that, and I hope that this really opens the eye on America, because this is something that is really affecting individuals of African-American culture, and it's the reason why these acts are now being put out now, because it's a time for it to stop.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to be judged by your hair, the color of your skin, and all these other things that are happening. So the way that we're going to make America great again is by people being great again.
Amen to that. Jermaine, I got to let you go. Thanks so much for stopping by. And one more time, the website.
Absolutely. You can visit me on Instagram, art_of_confidence, or you can go to Facebook at Art of Confidence.
All right. Thanks so much, Jermaine. We appreciate it. I imagine a lot of people are nodding along in agreement. If you're rolling your eyes, go to the website, learn a little bit more, and then we can have a conversation here on WGN. John Hanson here for John Williams for another 26 minutes. I'll take you up till noon. That'll get you right to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Jisook Yee is in until 3. She's noon to 3, so she's doing the Wintrust Business Lunch. Then she's staying right there for Anna DeVlantes today until 3 o'clock. Elif, I don't know where to go next. Do you want to go into this $100 thing? We could tease it up, or I have this one little quirky story that I've never heard of and I'm shocked about. Let's do that one first.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know why this amuses me so. But have you ever been into the reenactment world? You know, there's a lot of Civil War reenactors,
mm-hmm.
right, where they go to a battlefield, thousands of people, and they reenact a battle. And from the stories I've seen on it, it's not just that they sit there and there's camaraderie, although there is, of course. It's the authenticity of it. They actually kind of map out these battles and try and, I believe, fight them you know, in a way, without actually shooting each other, of course.
Yeah, right.
In ways that the battle did it. And I guess, you know, it's so easy to roll your eyes at that. And boy, I do. And I'm a history buff. I love it. I'm not much of a battle history guy. Like, I don't care who flanked who and at what point so-and-so took over and, you know, which general charged where. But I'll make fun of these people behind their backs. It seems so silly. But there's one that's been going on for decades that I've never heard of. I don't know, Ryan, if you've heard of this, but it's recreating Washington's crossing of the Delaware back in 1776. And they do it on Christmas for years and years. They've done it for a long time. They cross the Delaware like George Washington did. And there's been a few years in a row where they weren't able to do it because of maybe it was too the weather wasn't great. But here's the story. So thousands of people on Christmas Day came out yesterday for the annual reenactment of George Washington's surprise Christmas Day crossing of Delaware River. The daring 1776 river crossing set Washington's Revolutionary War Army on the path to victory. So it was canceled last year due to the river and weather conditions. But Wednesday's rite brought hundreds of reenactors out to cross the river in safe conditions and seasonable temperatures. So I'm looking at photos of this, and they have replica boats that are meant to mimic the ones that Washington crossed the Delaware in. Everyone is dressed up in revolutionary wear. The brisk air and clear skies contrasted starkly with the ice flows and the heavy sleep of snow braved by Washington's army. Of course, he did it in the same day, dead of winter 1776, but much colder than we've had the last couple weeks. 2,400 soldiers, 200 horses. The 2019 crossing, the one they did yesterday, took about 40 minutes. Washington did it. It took pretty much in 24 hours. They started ferrying troops just after sundown on Christmas Day, and it took them into the early hours up to the 26th. So I guess that'd be about 12 hours, excuse me. The Revolutionary Army went on to surprise mercenaries at Trenton in New Jersey. But I'm looking at more of these photos of this recreation, and there's like a guy with a cannon. And instead of setting off the cannon, Elif, he has a sign that says, boom. And they hold up the boom. Like a Batman, it's like written like Batman graphics, like boom.
Boom.
And then it has bang for their guns.
I am looking at some of these pictures, and it looks...
I'm starting to get on their side a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate this idea.
I think I used to hate it a lot more when I'm younger, but as I've become more and more of a history buff and have less and less friends with every passing week or month, and my tightened circle gets smaller and smaller, and I'm learning to embrace what I love, I am not that far away from dressing up and going here on Christmas Day to do this.
It just sounds like a peaceful thing to do.
Yeah.
It's just something that you get some fresh air.
Yes, and a gorgeous day. Get on a boat.
Get away from technology.
Yes.
Right?
And just, yeah, I think that they obviously use the day as a kind of an excuse to do it, and it's fun, but it's around people. I just know that a lot of people love to, and I was one of them, to roll their eyes at the reenactors. And oh gosh, what a weird person would do that.
It's weird, but it's... But it's also,
you know, yeah, quirky.
It's innocent and
yes.
Quirky, yeah. And it's just,
I'm on board.
I'm thinking about the simpler times.
Yes, right? In this day and age, why not hearken back to 1776? We can learn a thing or two from what happened back there. We can forget a couple things, too. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's crossing, or excuse me, Wednesday's crossing was the 67th time they've done it. It's not annual. So the first attempted reenactment, this is fun, it happened in 1844. So the crowds were rowdy and the participants were too drunk to do it, apparently, the first time they tried in 1844.
What do you know?
Yeah. Another attempt to do it was in 1876. A Civil War general, W.S. Truckex, portrayed Washington, or Truex, excuse me. He led reenactors through severe cold, which, again, led to an alcohol-fueled event. So they tried this twice in the 19th century. Everyone was too drunk to do it. In 1947, a fraternity at Ryder College had 40 pledges do it, crossing the river in rowboats. So it was a fraternity stunt. The first successful reenactment of the crossing of the Delaware. That one probably involves some alcohol as well. So that's three in a row.
But it's educational.
Yeah, right. If there's, hazing these days, this is a way better way to do it.
Yeah.
That event gained national attention. It was featured in Life magazine. But the modern crossing dates to 1953, and there's a Chicago connection, Chicago-born actor and impresario. I guess that's what they call themselves, impersonators or impresario, or maybe that's a whole different
thing.
Sure. St. John Terrell and six crew members crossed the icy river to be greeted by more than 700 spectators who came to see the event. So they have crossed the Delaware successfully, and they've reenacted it. So I don't know. That just interested me. I don't know if we have any reenactors out there that can really bring me to the other side.
Yeah, come on, people, call in.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. Are you a Civil War reenactor? It's similar to the Renaissance Fair, right?
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of when you said that.
Yeah.
By the way, entrepreneur is what impresario means.
Oh, okay. All right. So not someone who dresses up for this. So, I mean, they can be. You can be one of the same. They're not mutually exclusive, but they can be. 312-91-7200, join the conversation if you are a reenactor. I just found that interesting. The story of Washington crossing the Delaware is great. And, you know, again, just being able to do it and be where he was, that's kind of cool. Dressed up that way.
Yeah.
I don't think I've won over Elif, but
No. The one that I found really interesting when I was first taught about it was Lewis and Clark expedition.
Really? Going up the trail, up all the way west?
Well, we didn't do it, but, you know, going to St. Louis, going to the Arch, my stepdad, I remember one of my earliest memories, because I wasn't born here, was being told about that story. And one of my earliest memories with my stepdad is learning that story.
Learning the story. But he didn't take you all the way out to the West Coast.
No.
Dressed up and doing
in a boat.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No. Well, I don't think they went
braving the storms.
Anyway, so if you're a reenactor, I want to hear from you. Okay, the other thing I want to do as we wrap things up again, Jisuke taking over at noon, is there's this incredible Reddit thread that I just found interesting, because you might end up with you return a gift or something, and maybe you got 100 spare dollars that you didn't have yesterday, or credit to a store, maybe a big box store like a Target or something, and you're like, what should I buy? And you're maybe straining yourself to be like, oh, what do I need? I've got a lot of things in my life. What am I going to spend it on? Well, there's a great thread saying, what is something that's less than $100, but is a total game changer? So things that you can afford, I mean, $100 isn't nothing, don't get me wrong, but it's something that a lot of us might have an extra $100 or, you know, we could spare that moving forward. But it's something that for whatever reason we don't have, but could be completely a game changer. And the one example I used to kind of prompt this, 312-91-7200, maybe the best $100 you ever spent on something that you use all the time. Someone chimed in, and I think this is a good one, a nice shower head. That's something I've never thought about replacing mine. But boy, oh boy, I hate it.
Mine is so sad.
Right. But why wouldn't you go get a new one?
Because I shouldn't have to. It's my landlord's responsibility, right?
And that's fair. But I know there's so many people out there that are not happy with their flow, their shower flow, and they're and they are could easily just go get a new one, but it's like the one thing we don't. So 312-981-7200. You got $100. What is the thing that's a game changer that people may not realize? Got a lot of responses coming in. Get yours in too on WGN. 720 WGN, John Hansen here, just until noon. Jisuke is next with the Wintrust Business Lunch, and she'll stay in for Anna DeVellante's till 3 today. Can't wait to catch up with my old friend G. You know, G and I are hosting together on New Year's Eve for John.
How exciting. And I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, we're doing John plus a little bit more. We're going through at least some of the Wintrust Business Lunch. I don't know. We're probably taking it up to Northwestern basketball or something. But that's next week. Right now, we are talking about things for under $100 that can change your life. Things that are maybe everyday household items that for whatever reason you haven't bought, but if you have an extra $100 or less, you might be able to buy it. And the shower head one is the example that I gave, because it's something that a lot of us are too stubborn to go out and get, or we don't feel like it's an expense we should do, but it can really change who you are. And Elif, you said you don't want to do it because that should be the landlord's responsibility. And I think you're right on principle, but we've got a lot of texters saying you're wrong in execution.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But I don't feel like doing it.
Right. And I,
because I'm okay with it.
I've never changed a shower head. And I've been at rentals where I hate the flow of the shower head.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not that, you get Lou Manfredini on the phone, he can walk you through it in a second. You just need some plumber's putty, I'm sure. But 815 says, if it's a rental, just put the original shower head back on when you move.
That's what someone else just called and told me.
So they're calling
you too.
I know
that.
Yeah.
I know that. But I don't have the, I don't feel like doing it. I'd rather buy something else.
But every day, do you shower every day? And this is a really personal
Pretty
question
much.
Here.
I'd say every day to every other day.
Okay, yeah. That's good. But think of all those extra minutes enjoying that shower. Mm-hmm. You could have. 773 says, a cala soprano ukulele. I know that one of those words.
Oh.
It can open you or your child up to playing music. Under $100.
An instrument.
Isn't that a good one?
Mm-hmm. I like that one. I was going to say my hobby on the side of work is writing and playing music and probably recording software would be great
Something
for me.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I think you could probably get one for under $100.
I saw there's one for $90.
Hey. So if you have an extra $100. Look, I mean, and again, I know we're going to get texts saying, you know, $100 is a lot of money. I get it. Trust me. I'm as tight as anyone with this stuff. But I think there are these attainable things that you can get. And maybe on the holiday, you had to return something in a big box and you've got credit. And sometimes, like, when I have credit, I just spend it on anything because I'm like, I got to get rid of this. Like, I'll walk the aisles until I find something maybe that I want instead of thinking what could actually turn it around. 630 says a good set of knives for the kitchen. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one.
Because, boy, I mean, if you're chopping and it's dull, you're not going to chop as much, which means you're going to cook less. And that leads me to another one that was on the Reddit thread that I think is probably my favorite one. And it's something that I did with $100. Once, sort of on the same sort of topic, I went and got all the spices that I would need.
That's you who did that.
No, the Reddit, someone else did it, but I have done that back in my day when I was just out of college. My older brother, who is a great cook, said, just get these 10 spices and you'll want to cook more. It's there when you need it. You don't wait for the recipe to do it. You have it. Try it. Start putting spices on chicken and see where it takes you.
Okay, so thyme, rosemary.
So obviously you need the pepper.
Cayenne pepper.
Or
salt
regular pepper.
Garlic powder.
I'm not counting. Are you counting?
I am. Minced onions?
No, that's not a spice. You don't need that. So the garlic powder, the pepper, the paprika,
chili powder,
ground mustard,
now
maybe.
We're at 10.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get some fresh oregano, basil, stuff like that. Maybe a couple plants once the season turns around, some basil. Oregano.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good one. Like, that's something
oregano, yeah.
That's something where, like, people don't want to spend money on spice. When you go through the spice aisle, I do this all the time. I try and take each spice down to, I've been out of garlic powder for 2 weeks because I don't want to spend the $9.99.
I know, it's ridiculous.
But it's going to save me so much in the long run.
Yeah.
Garlic powder, that's a good one. But all the spices, that's a good one. 847, take another dig at Ryan saying a drone locator. We get it, people. The story's over. Ryan's off.
It's not over.
Have you heard anything from the son today, or is he not talking to you?
Yeah, nothing yet.
Someone suggested blind spot mirrors for your car. So they have these little circles, attachments, that you can get on your car mirror, and you can put it there. They're not too expensive. They're about $10 or $15 each. And then you can see your blind spot without having to turn your head and lose sight of the road in front. It makes me feel more secure, especially in heavy traffic. And you can buy a pair usually for $15.
How about extra power cords for your cell phone? One for work, one for home, one
That's
for your bedroom,
one
for your car.
Boy, you're right, because I'm stingy with them. I'll put one in a bag, and I'm like, no, I will take this to work, and I'll bring it back, and then I lose it. And it's gone. Or then you leave it at work, and then you can't charge it. That's a good one. I'd say going along the cooking line, kind of to put a bow on that, would be a crock pot. Or an Instapot, or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Those things are not that expensive. You can get a decent crock pot for under $40. Throw in an Instant Pot in there as well, or a pressure cooker, if you'd like, and boom, there you go.
Rice cookers are cool, too, but I've heard that they're useful. I mean, they're not.
I think a rice cooker's superfluous.
You
a
think
little
so?
Bit. Yeah, unless you're really going with rice every day.
Yeah,
I'd say that. But hey, if you've got the dough and the... For me, it was the space, the storage.
Okay.
Too many makers.
I'm bad at making rice.
Right.
Confession.
I would say that the one thing that I did once that I'm sure it saved me thousands of dollars, and I know this is another trope that we talk about, and we did it with Jan Sabella at Block Club, the idea of like, hey, if you just let one less cup of coffee down a month. But I bought a coffee grinder and a great French press, one that's going to last me a long time. And it is so easy to do, to grind up the coffee and an electric kettle. That's the third thing. Every night.
Nice.
Every night, I boil the coffee. I put it in the French press. It's ready for me in the morning. I can either reheat it on a cold day or I can put it over ice. I guarantee that $70 has saved me $1,000. Because I'd say almost every single day, I don't buy coffee on my way to work. But if I were to do that $3 or $4 a day, that will add up. So that's something under $100 you can get, just everything you need for coffee. Someone chimed in saying an ice cream machine. They got one for their parents. They use it every day in the summer. That's a good one. 815 said the Instant Pot. That's a good idea. And they also said that that does rice pretty well. 815 says a good pair of sunglasses. I agree with that, but my problem is I oftentimes lose sunglasses. So I do have one nice pair. I think that's changed things. I like this one from the 773. Recently bought a small humidifier at Best Buy. $42 already makes a difference. Yeah, I don't have a humidifier, but boy, my place gets dry. And how easy would that be, you know? Let's go to Ann. Ann, you're on WGN. Under $100, what are you buying? Something to change your life.
I would buy a rain barrel for your house.
Oh, okay.
I love the garden, and then I don't use quite so much water on these really hot summer days in Chicago.
Are they easy to install?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that you really, really need is the tin snip to shorten your gutter spouts, and then you position your rain barrel underneath it, and you're good to go.
How long did it take to fill up, or did you go ahead and fill it up halfway first, or did you wait for it to rain to fill up?
Oh, no, I just let it fill up in the springtime, and then usually it can take like a week or two to fill up.
Oh, wow.
If it doesn't rain, you know, it just depends.
Yeah, that's a good one, Ann. Anna, we appreciate the phone call.
All right, thank you.
I hadn't thought of that, a rain barrel. That's a good idea. I like the humidifier, too. A lot of people chiming in about the showerhead. My mom collected drawers full of knives. Okay. Someone says a code detector. I don't know. Oh, is that a cop detector? I don't know. Jim from Munster might have left out a letter. A lot of people having the detectors to be able to...
I think he means carbon. Is it carbon monoxide?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm an idiot.
Probably need one of those.
Yeah. I think those other detectors are illegal anyways. All right, 312-917-200. If you got any last-minute ones, get them on in. Things that you could save a lot of hassle with under $100. We're going to tackle that. We'll say hi to G2 coming up. That'll do it for me, but you're going to be able to hear me again next week on New Year's Eve with the amazing woman I'm about to talk to now. G, how are you?
Wow, what a wonderful holiday gift you just gave me with that compliment.
Yes, I love you to death, and I'm so excited to host on New Year's Eve. We'll do a whole wrap-up of 2019 or something.
I know. I miss you, Mr. Handsome and multi-talented guy that you are.
Oh, I appreciate it. I think the listeners are sick of hearing about that. So what do you got coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch?
You know what? Of course, we've got Cranes, Dennis Rodkin. Oh, everybody knows he is the real estate guru.
You know, anytime he comes in, I start panicking about the house I bought a year and a half ago.
Well, at least you own, okay, buddy? I'm still renting.
Yeah, I own, but he's always like, well, I think the bubble, it's a slow growth. No, don't sell your place.
You're fine. The thing I'm really excited about is I'm having an awesome... the co-founder of a tech company that helps women with fertility needs, not only providing financial help, but also educational and emotional support. She's going to be in studio. The company's name is called MBorrow.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, this is something that's very important, especially for women in their, you know, as they hit their mid-30s. And then I have a lot of friends that are in their actual mid-40s to late 40s that are trying to have kids right now that wish that they had frozen eggs. So.
Well, you'll know I'll be listening, G. Have a good show, okay? And you're in until 3, right?
Yes. All right. 2:30.
Sorry. All right.